CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Monday. I'm suddenly struck by load shedding, but otherwise all is well on the side of like a massive flood over the weekend. It's just been insane. But I've got Mash and I got Leanne, and we are a full complement of people to look after you this first day of a brand new week. And we're pretty much halfway through November, and I'm just saying, it's all happening much too fast for my liking. I know it irritates people, but I got to say it because that's how it feels. All right, Mash. Hey, Leanne, what's happening, you two?
Good morning. Good morning. I am so disappointed in you two to begin with. Why? Because I do not see any Christmas decorations in the background.
No, but not yet. I only put up my Christmas decorations like probably
2 weeks. It is, isn't it?
It's meant to
be 2 weeks before.
It's meant to be 12 days. What? Yeah, 12 days before Christmas, and you could take them down 12 days after. That's tradition. But a lot of people like to put them up at the beginning of December. You know, the shops like to put them up beginning of November. Have you already done your Christmas decorations, Mash?
Yeah, they're already up. Should I be embarrassed?
No, don't be embarrassed. You're getting into the
spirit. Maybe a little. Unless you like selling stuff from home and it's a store, it's merchandise.
No.
You know, then you can copy like the Woolworths and the Checkers's.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to sell, you know, apart from candles and lamps.
I think this year I'll put up mine probably first week of December, because then, you know, it's ready for everything. Ass, did you color your hair?
Yes.
No, I'm just, it's not in a pony.
Oh.
This is my natural color, by the way.
Oh, okay. Oh.
It used to be, Mash, my natural Mash color like, used to be blonde.
Julian, bad girl, damn. No, it looks so really good.
This is what happens when you start becoming what they call now. We didn't know it existed before, but perimenopausal.
Oh, Jesus.
What does that mean?
Are you really going to use that term to describe yourself? Please don't. It makes it so, like, uncool.
Unattractive, uncool.
Is it like
I don't really care. It's where I am in my life, and I'm having fun and I'm enjoying it.
Okay, well, if you've decided to own the term, just explain it to us.
So it's the years preceding proper menopausal.
Oh my god.
Or menopause. Menopause is when you completely like shut down shop, right? not shop, right? Just shut down shop.
My god. All right.
But leading up to that can actually be between 10 and 15 years of it.
Oh, wow.
And it's a term that hasn't been recognized in the past. And now that there's a much bigger focus on women's health, it explains a lot of symptoms for a lot of people. Complete change of hair color, natural hair color.
Really?
My hair is now curly. It used to be dead straight. Hmm. This is a natural curl now. Yeah, but just smaller changes, like a bit of brain fog, a little bit of.
But you've had,
you know, when you're
you've had brain fog for years. Let's not blame this on the menopause or anything. All right.
Well, for me, then it's brain foggier.
Okay.
So I've got a little bit more brain foggier.
Mm-hmm.
Things like if you're crossing a road in a car, you look left, you look right. There are no cars, but then you don't kind of trust what you've seen, so you have to look again. And then you start understanding why older people act like they do.
All right,
but with it comes wisdom, mounds of wisdom.
Okay.
And experience.
These are the good things. Yeah. All right, so I've got a list here because I've never heard of this term before, but I've actually looked it up now while you were talking about it. So it says here.
Oh, yeah.
It refers to a time during which your body makes a transition to menopause, marking the end of the reproductive years. So, all right, here are some of the things.
Thank goodness for that.
Physiological things: anger, anxiety, depression, irritability, dizziness, difficulty concentrating, fatigue, and mood swings. But I know way too many girls in their 20s and 30s who are like that already with all of those.
Yeah, those are very, very broad.
Yeah, very broad categories. And then physical, we've got the hot. Okay, so say yes if you have these, Leanne, the hot flashes.
Okay. 1,000%.
Night sweats.
Yes.
Oh my god. Reduced libido.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not that.
Well, that's a good one. So you're still horny. All right, weight gain.
Weight gain, no. I've actually lost a bit.
Good, good. That's a good one. So we've got your libido and your weight still. Urinary incontinence.
No, look, I have to make sure that if I'm leaving someone's home, I need to go to the loo before I get in the car and make the trip, because I could find myself in a situation where I'm at the end of my driveway and I cough and there's an issue.
Isn't perimenopause, though, really technically the end of your driveway anyway? Just saying.
It's the middle of the end. It's the beginning of the end.
So, all right. And then vaginal dryness. Do you have that?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
And
Lien, you don't have any of these.
And bloating?
That sort of bloating, no. None of that.
You
I'm
sure?
pretty regular.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So
it's not too bad. It's just the start, you know.
God, all right. Well, listen, I mean.
You know what? Lien, just slip and slide. Sounds like you're still winning in life at this very moment. And that's what matters.
Yeah. Right.
No, exactly. All's good in the hood and under the hood.
Okay. Well, there's something you didn't know this Monday morning that Lien has just enlightened us to. Okay. So now we are talking perimenopausal stuff. All right. Yeah. A couple of comments here. Some people are saying that with the Christmas tree, Christmas trees are as stupid, Sunday says, as Christmas itself and everything that has to do with it, like the illusion of Santa. There will be no dumb tree or any of that in my house. Sanele, listen.
You sound perimenopausal.
Yeah, you sound perimenopausal and you sound like the Grinch, and it's not a good look on you, Sanele. Come on. I mean, this is my favorite time of the year. I love Christmas. I'm not a big, religious nut. I'm also not some kind of massive gift-giving, Santa Claus-worshipping, you know, whatever. But I love Christmas because when I was a kid and throughout our lives, it's been like family time. And I just love it. It makes me happy. I get like a little bit of excitement, like a little kid. And I love the decorations. I love the lights. I love the music. I love all of it. I think Mash does too. That's why he put up his decorations already. He's into this.
Mm-hmm. No shame.
Yeah, I kind of am.
Good.
I just want gifts. Yeah.
No, you just want gifts. That's fine. I mean, whatever your reason, take it all. Tracy says the brain fog thing is real, and then you doubt and double check what you've already double checked. Mm. Menopause is not a joke, but it is worth celebrating. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You do tend, I mean, it is something I've done before, but it becomes more pronounced. Mm. You tend to tell people the same story that you've already told them.
Oh, no. Yeah, that happens to old people. And then you sit there going, mm-hmm. Oh, God, I've heard this story like twice before.
Oh. And you just, the younger ones shake their heads and just agree.
Yeah.
This happens to old men as well. So do men also get a type of menopause, or what do you call it when it happens to men?
No, Mash, nothing happens to men. They're perfect. It's only women that have issues. Men are absolutely fine up until and can still have children until they're 90.
That doesn't mean we're perfect. Let me tell you something. Given the choice of spending, if you had to hold a gun to my head and said, I have to spend the next 20 years of my life with an old person living in my house, would I rather have an old man or an old woman? I would say old woman 100 times over. Old woman.
Same.
And this is not just because, you know, I had like two really nice grandmas, because I haven't had a lot to do with very old people for a long time, right? I've been fortunate.
Yours exited a bit early.
Yeah, they did us the favor of like not being in the way as very old, irritating people. But I've seen a lot of other older, wise people. I mean, I've got friends. I mean this, friends who are in their 70s and 80s. And I have the most interesting conversations with some of these people. And it's just, to me, the old woman, there's a thing about, like, an old woman is sometimes not only wise and, you know, sort of grandmotherly, but really old women can sometimes be hilariously funny. They've got like character. They've got a little bit of eccentricity going with them. Now, don't get me wrong. Old men can be very eccentric as well, but they're usually very annoying. And I've seen like a lot of old men they become supremely habitual. They start doing the same thing over and over again. They don't like any change to their routine. They go to the same places. They talk to the same people. It's mostly, and old men always talk about themselves more than any other subject. It's me, 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 me the whole fucking time. Whereas with older women, it's not as irritating. That's my appreciation and understanding of it. So given the choice, gun to the head, rather have the old woman hanging around than the old man. That's what I feel.
Mm. They tend to be a little bit more spicy than old men.
Right.
And also, if you notice, Shem, it's really sad, but when a man loses his wife at an old age, he kind of really closes up. And it's difficult for him to move on, and the routine thing definitely becomes a big part.
Yeah.
Whereas a woman may, and this is a generalization, be able to move on a bit faster, make new friends and start new activities.
They get a new lease on life. I mean, I think women respond to that sort of change a lot better than men. Again, it's a generalization, as you've said, but that's our understanding. So listen, after that clangor from Leanne about the perimenopause, we've got quite a lot to get through today. We've got quite a lot to talk about. First of all, I got a really nice message from someone yesterday saying, oh my God, thank Gareth's not in Istanbul. Carol on Facebook said that. But there was a bomb in Istanbul over the weekend. In fact, there's a video that accompanied it, which I saw on Instagram. Really just awful, like in Itzhaklal Street, which... I was actually on, I was on that street, 4 weeks ago? And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, six people are dead, dozens are wounded, the death toll may go up, but a horrible, horrible story that happened in Istanbul in Turkey over the weekend, and we'll keep an eye on that story too. The other thing that I'm sure you would have seen over this weekend is... that video, Mash, I know you saw it, of the two planes colliding in the air. It's just like everybody, because I've got a lot of friends who fly, and I sent it to all of them, and they all replied like, is this for real? Because they couldn't actually believe what they were seeing. There was like this slightly larger plane and then this smaller plane that flies into it, and they both obviously plummet to the ground, and there's just a big explosion, and I don't think anyone survived any of it. But my God, like to see that visual... and to know that it's not some Hollywood special effect, it's like, it's just horrible. And I mean, those are two depressing as F things over the weekend. And then we had so much rain. I'm sure you did as well.
Phew.
My God.
And you're by the river. So what's happening there?
Well,
you need to be reporting live from the riverside.
I should. If I could open the window now, you would probably hear the river because it's coming down, and it has been the whole weekend. I mean, some of the bridges around here, my sister couldn't get across to this side, and like there's one road where there's a sinkhole under the road, and it's quite a big road. It's quite a sort of main road here, and like you imagine driving your car over that. Nothing's happened yet, but there's a lot of dolomite in this area, and if there's too much water... The ground actually just opens up. There's sinkholes. And then this has happened under this road. So you can imagine that's really, really dangerous because if you drove your car over it, you could just like fall into this huge sinkhole. And it's happened in this area quite a lot. So they've cordoned off the road. People can't use it. And there'll be a bunch of people who are more than just a little bit what would you even say it is? It's like... It's slightly inconvenient. So they'll be inconvenienced this morning. That's the word I'm looking for. So anyway, there's a couple of things that happened to me over the weekend. Other than that, I went out for a lovely birthday dinner on Saturday, and I decided to call it quits quite early. I was in bed at home by 11. Which is not bad for Saturday night. So I felt pretty damn... Yeah, I felt so adult about that. Because usually I'd be like, oh, well, let's go out and have a few drinks after dinner. Which we tried. And then when I walked into this place, I was like, nah, this is not good. So I just called the Uber and went home. And that was nice because then I got into bed, had a fat sleep Saturday night, and woke up feeling pretty fresh yesterday. You do anything fun, Mash?
Nice.
Mash has always got stories.
Yo. Unfortunately, I didn't do anything so fun this weekend. I continued having electricity problems. So I spent most of my time at a friend's house, one of my friend's houses. And that was pretty much it for me this weekend. But I did fall down the rabbit hole of these other videos that I discovered on YouTube. Ooh. And so they actually tie back to what you just said about the rain, about the flooding, especially in Centurion. Mm-hmm. And it's videos of people in England where the road is flooded.
Yeah.
And these people are so ambitious. They just try to drive through the flooded road.
Yes, I've seen those. I've seen those. These tiny little cars that think they're going to make it.
These people are so stupid. You know,
these are my favorite videos at the moment.
And even in this country, it happens a lot, right? South Africans think, oh, no, I'm in a bucky. It's usually these people who drive these big SUVs and buckies and things, and they think, oh, no, I don't have to worry about that flood. It's only up to like halfway up my tires. I think I can make it across here. Let me tell you something. Some of that water is coming down at such a speed and with such force that it'll just sweep you right off that bridge. And it does. That's what happens to people. And then it becomes like the rescue people's problem, because now they have to like pull you out of there. And I mean, whether or not you actually survive, they're still, your car is now, you know, in a river. That has to come out.
And what makes these videos even funnier is when people, especially with small cars, some people have really expensive cars and they think, oh, my car's like 200 pounds. Yeah. It can go through anything. And then they try to drive through. And then next thing you know, the lights start flickering. The car just stops. It starts smoking. And then this poor person has to climb out the window and climb on top of their car and beg people to actually like rope them out. And then everyone on the sidewalk, and keep in mind, this happens so often that on the sidewalk or on the sidelines of this, you can just call it a mini river.
Yeah.
People know what happens here. People know that people are ambitious and are going to try to cross here. So everybody, it's just tons of people with cameras set up on the side banks. And they're just laughing the whole time. They're like, yeah, you can join the rest of them. And then when the camera turns, there's like 10 other cars that are broken down on the side of the road. God. Just outside this little river. So I feel like we're going to be seeing a lot of that going forward, because I think we still have quite a bit more rain coming down, especially in Johannesburg area.
So someone said to me that the plan, and I know it's boring to talk about the weather, but this is important, like the perceived weather pattern that is going to unfold over the next few weeks, even up to the end of summer, is like 3 days of rain, 3 days of sun, 3 days of rain, 3 days of sun. But there was so much rain. I mean, it was like over 200 mils this weekend where I am.
And it's so strange to think that just a few weeks ago we had water restrictions you know, we weren't allowed to fill up our pools, and now we're having to drain our pools because they're overflowing.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah, you just got to be careful, especially if you are in an area where there's like low water bridges and things like that, because as MASH takes great joy in watching people being washed away, it's horrible. And you know, it can happen to anybody if you do dumb stuff where there's, and you could even be, you know, like I said, driving along a road, there's some sinkhole you don't know about, and you've got to, you know, sometimes it's just bad luck. But if you can avoid those places, especially when it's been, and also people just, they lose their minds when it rains. It seems like people already drive badly, but they drive extra badly when there's a lot of rain. Okay, so Corona's Boring says people with lowered suspension are the first to regret their modifications during flooding. In Durban, Phoenix was disproportionately affected during the flooding. That's horrible.
I don't know how much truth is in that, but it could be.
So apparently the two planes, thanks to Mike Turnbull, you see, we've got such clever people who listen to this. Those two planes that collided were a B-17 and a P-63 Air Cobra of the Commemorative Air Force in America. It was in Texas. Irreplaceable World War II aircraft. And obviously, persons killed there as well, which is just terrible.
Yeah.
That is absolutely terrible. But, you know, Twitter being Twitter, everyone on social media actually wanted someone to blame.
Of course.
And people started analyzing and psychoanalyzing the video and saying, yeah, as you can see, the big plane should have moved much slower. The small plane should have moved much slower. They should have turned there. They should have done this. They should have done that. And then we had another crowd of people. I don't know if it's just stupidity, if it's just stupid people, or if they're just trolling.
Yeah.
But there were people who were actually attacking the people taking the videos. So this was an air show. So there were actually multiple videos circulating from multiple angles. And people posted these videos immediately after it happened. And people on social media were like, oh, you're going to just record a video instead of helping?
What are you meant to do? Are you meant to climb into the fucking cockpit of the plane while it's flying over? Are you meant to go and help put out the flames of the fireball that happens when it hits the ground? What are these people who say that expect? I love how everybody's like, I would have done this or I would have done that. Just, you know, how about you take a minute and just go, wow, that's awful. I'm so sorry. I feel terrible for the people who've lost their lives. How great that it wasn't me, because I'm here to, I'm able to actually live another day. But instead it's like, I'm going to have done this and this is what I think. And why aren't those people helping? Also,
all the experts come out.
There's another part of this which nobody likes to acknowledge, but human nature is a fucking horrible thing, right? You know that people watch Formula One hoping for a crash. You know that people go to an air show hoping for a crash. You know that people like to watch, you know, really competitive sports. Like even golf, which was over the weekend, you know, the Nedbank Challenge. Someone in the crowd is actually there just hoping that someone gets hit in the head by a golf ball, because that would make them...
Jesus.
People are... No, but Leanne, this is what people are like. And we don't want to acknowledge it because it makes us sound like we're really horrible, and we are. Like, some people are obviously much worse than others, but I know that there are people who go and watch sports events to see a calamity.
Yeah.
No, that's very true. I mean, you look at fight type sports where you want to see someone knocked out, unconscious. I mean, it's crazy.
I don't like watching that stuff.
Mm-mm.
But
yeah, it's not the funnest thing.
Yeah, I mentioned the golf. That was a big thing over the weekend, also kind of put out by a lot of rain. And it was nice seeing, you know, Sun City in all of its glory, because I was there just a few weeks ago. And I have to say, like, it could do with a lick of paint and some attention. But we didn't see that side of it. They put on a good show for the weekend. And it is still one of those things. It's like a South African institution. You know, you're winding down to the end of the year when the Nedbank Golf Challenge comes along.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about. It's also another thing on the calendar that marks this time of year. All right. We've got Dr. Hanan coming on a little bit later on. We'll talk to him with It's Gonna Be Okay. All of that's just around the corner. We will also be catching up this morning with Debbie Droke, who's a friend of mine from America. She's going to give us a general catch up and also talk about the U.S. midterm elections. Just as a citizen, she lives in Washington, so there's a lot that, you know, she will be able to tell us that we wouldn't be able to figure out from the, you know, the journalists and the serious people. Debbie's got a much more interesting take on some of this stuff. Also, we're going to, with Dr. Hanan, discuss the Sonia Matthew Booth thing, because I think he's got a few issues to unpack there for us, and we'll get to all of those just now. Apparently, you've got this in your stories, Leanne, and I don't know what this is all about. I know who Prue Leith is. She's the judge on the Great British Bake Off. But
yes,
but she doesn't seem like a controversial person. Is she in trouble for something?
It's really quite bizarre. So Prue Leith is actually South African,
really?
But she's a judge on the Great British Bake Off.
Right.
You know, lovely woman, loves to bake, knows her baking, knows her history of baking. So it's the last thing you'd expect from her. But there is a bit of, you know, controversy surrounding the show all of a sudden. In her memoir about her family, her life growing up, specifically in South Africa, she mentions a time of her life when she was really young about her mother asking her to drown a litter of kittens that had just been born.
Oh, wow.
I'm
not laughing because I think drowning kittens is horrible, because now I can see where this is going.
Yeah, of course.
It is horrible, obviously.
And like we know from that series, Don't fuck with cats. You just don't stir the cat-loving community,
no.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So the thing is that that was a bit of a reality back in the day.
Oh, yeah. And Prue Leith, you know, is what? She's like, she must be 70 or 80 years old.
Yeah, exactly. So she's actually shed some light and given some context on as to why she was asked to drown kittens. And it was the early 1940s in South Africa. And she mentioned that it was commonplace. And this is largely true, where they were living at the time, is to drown kittens to maintain the cat population.
Yeah.
It was before the days that you could drop off a box of kittens at the vet or at the fire station or something like that.
You had to take matters into your own hands, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Take matters into your own hands. So, I mean, obviously now our minds are completely in a different place when it comes to that. Obviously, we are all pro-rescue and pro-rehabilitate and pro-life and all of this. Mm-hmm. So it sounds terrible, but she admits that it was the most traumatic, awful, horrible experience.
Sure.
But anyway, when she found out about her mother's plans, she actually tried to stop them. Her mom responded by saying, it has to be done. And she actually went through this traumatizing experience by herself. And she said it's something that she would never forget. And that's why she brings it up in her book. You know, if she was nonchalant about it, she probably wouldn't have even thought about bringing it up in her memoir. So, of course, there's a bit of a backlash. Wow. Everyone likes to hear some horror story about the baking lady.
Yeah, I feel sorry for her too, because she's telling a story in her memoir. She grew up at this time. And it seems to me like people have really lost the ability to understand that history, people thought differently and behaved differently and had different standards for everything, including, you know, pets. Like my parents will say, when they had dogs, their dogs lived outside and they ate like pup if they were lucky, and a bone. That was their meal for the day, and they got one meal a day if they were lucky. And the rest of the day, they'd go and find their own food, these dogs, because they were farm dogs. Now, if you say that to people today, they're like, oh, that's animal abuse. I mean, even, let's just take it to parenting, and this is something that I think Ben and I discussed a while ago. Like, when I was a kid, my parents, during the holidays, would do whatever they were doing. They'd say, bye-bye, you know, boys, to me and my brother, and he and I would go down to the river or up to the mountain, or we'd go and visit our friends or whatever else. We got on our bicycles, and they would only see us again at like 4, 5, 6 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And that's as recent as your and my upbringing.
Right.
Mine too.
Yeah. You also grew up like that, right, Mash?
Yes.
Now.
Yeah. We used to play in the rivers and all that.
And now if you let your kid like out of the house, unsupervised, and they go like 3 houses down to their friend who lives there, the parents get called by like social workers to say, is everything all right at home? You know, we saw little Johnny was walking, he was playing in the driveway, and you know, that's very, very dangerous. And people who are alive now and who have, especially in the first world, and you know, we joke about first world problems, but there's this ridiculous thing that happens where people apply the standards of today to people from every other generation before. And then they sit there and criticize like they're any better. Like they are, you know, somehow they're superior to those people who came before. Actually, in some ways, they're probably inferior. And I mean, clearly, nobody wants to drown kittens. Even nobody wanted to even, you know, 200 years ago. But that was the way you disposed of unwanted animals rather than let them, you know, get feral and make even more cats
and breed, yeah,
and breed and yes, bring disease.
You had to deal with your own problems.
Right.
There wasn't much support in that way at all. You didn't go onto Facebook and say, "Hey, I've got some kittens that need a home."
Right.
And I mean that new way of looking at events from the past can be applied to anything, like sexual activity, the way women were treated sexually, and you can't go back and say that was, you know, uncalled for and they shouldn't have behaved like that. A lot of it just happened. That's the way it was. Yes. And thank goodness for times now. But also I was in Hyde Park. I had a friend's birthday lunch yesterday. So into Hyde Park Shopping Centre we went, sat in one of those middle restaurants where everyone can see you and you can see everyone else.
Yeah.
And it actually took the kids at the table, while they were in high school, to notice that, point out all of the groups of young girls who were walking around, and they had two enormous bodyguards following them. And that just made me think of what you were saying, Gareth. I remember going off on my bicycle with a bell and a basket and a map book and disappearing until the sun set again.
Yeah. We didn't even have phones. If you'd got lost or something, you'd have to ask one of the other people who lives in the neighborhood. You'd have to knock on their door and say, excuse me, ma'am, or, you know, hi, sir, would you mind just telling me how I get back onto this road? And I'm talking like primary school, you know. I was a kid, a real kid. And
8 years old.
And the world wasn't frightening and scary to me. It was exciting. And like, there also, look, I mean, there are those situations where like there are creeps and pedophiles and horrible people around. But by and large, I just got to remind everybody, they don't want your kid. Your kid's not that fucking sexy that there's pedophiles waiting around every corner to try and grab them. Just calm down, you know. And there are a lot of horrible things that kids have to put up with these days, but I promise you the most horrible thing they have to put up with is this phone. It's not like what's going to lurk on the streets around their house. And there are obviously dangers, so I'm not making fun of that. I wouldn't want to be a parent. It must be a tough fucking job. There must be so many things you have to consider. But I just am so grateful I had the childhood I did, where you could build a swing in a tree, you could build a fort, you could go and like, you know, ride your bike around. I had such a happy childhood because I wasn't being helicoptered by my parents everywhere and being like nursemaided until the age of 20. I just think it breeds a lot of really, really dumb, really weak and really pathetic people who are constantly worried about things that aren't even going to happen to them.
I don't know if I feel that strongly.
And who are allergic to everything.
Allergic to everything. And they have like 10 mental health disorders before the age of 10. I mean, it's just, it's like these, you know, these kids are, they're just caught. And it's not the kids' fault. It's the parents. Because the kids can't make the rules. It's the parents who are making these stupid rules and ruining these kids' childhoods. I mean, there's a sure there's absolutely a certain amount of like sensible caution that is to be considered. Again, I'm glad this is not something I have to think about every day. But wow, imagine growing up in this cotton wool environment that so many kids now do, especially in countries like America and parts of Europe. I mean, we're lucky in South Africa. I think a lot of people in South Africa still have the ability to like keep their head on their shoulders. But I mean, if you think of American kids in towns and cities and the way they grow up now, there's no life for them. There's no excitement. Everything's you're kind of kept in a sterile environment until you're 20 and you're released into the world. And all you've got as part of your personality, because you don't have a personality, is a list of mental disorders. You're on a bunch of medications. You're allergic to everything, and the whole world is terrifying. What an awful way to grow up.
And Fortnite and Minecraft skills. That is it.
Exactly. Oh, that's so true. Oh, that's so true.
And it takes me back to growing up in Qwaqwa. My experience was so different from kids of today as well. Mm. You know, you guys said your upbringing was so free, and you guys were building swings and riding your bikes to rivers and stuff like that. I was doing that as well.
Yeah.
And this was in the early 2000s. And I remember in our communities, going back to also the cats being drowned. So I grew up in a community where if you had a cat, period, you are a witch.
Yeah.
And even today, if you have a cat in that community, you're still a witch. But that didn't deter us as kids, because we'd go to the witches' houses and our parents would be so nonchalant about it. They'd be like, oh, you're at the witch's house. Yeah, you know, the witch is actually very nice. She made us tea and she made us porridge. Oh, and my parents would be like, oh, okay, cool.
Keep
it moving. They were so nonchalant about everything. And everything was so, we just grew up so freely and we weren't being helicoptered. I mean, kids nowadays, their parents, I mean, I saw Apple now sells what's it called? AirTag armbands that you can put on your kids, where you can actually track your kids with such precise accuracy as if you're playing Pokemon Go.
It's really difficult, though, Mash, to draw the line. And as non-parents, I don't think we have much say. But
yeah,
seeing those teenage girls walking around with the bodyguards following them, my initial reaction was, oh, that's ridiculous. And then I thought, if I had the money and the means and children that I was worried about, they wanted their freedom from their parents, would I let them walk around shopping centers? But if I had the means and the money, I probably would have someone, you know, walk with them and just look out for them.
But I did
it's
see
really
it.
Difficult. It's the same as now that the technology is available for us to tag, or what's it, chip our animals, we do. You know, so maybe it's okay with kids. We've been tracking their phones for years.
Well, yeah, probably not close enough, because that's where the real evil lurks, if you ask me. So Giga Shack says, I had to shoot cats around the farmhouse as a youngster. It wasn't fun for me. Well, yeah, again, like on farms and things, cats can be a real pest, because if you farm with, you know, chickens or whatever else, the cats will actually be a nuisance, and they will get in the way of your chicken farming. So you can't have feral cats running around. And I know this is very sad, and it makes a bunch of people who have cats as pets feel like, you know, it's uncomfortable and nasty and shit. I mean, we're not advocating this kind of thing, but it was just a reality. Shani says, I lived on a farm. I paid 50 cents for a ride on a donkey cart driven by a stranger. What a life. In the UK, I was stalked and chased by hooligans. Yeah. That's why people watch videos of people fishing instead of being able to do it themselves, says TP. Yeah, I mean, listen, a lot of people are doing this. You know, they're trying to get some of the excitement and joy of other people's childhood by living vicariously through their videos on social media, which is also cool. Just a quick question from David. He says, just heard Mash is from Kwa Kwa. Is he family of Mabale Moloi? He's not, but...
I am not, but I think Mabale's family is like a few blocks away.
But yeah, but Kwa Kwa is huge, man. It is a massive, massive place.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Someone was telling me about how huge Toyando is, and how many people are building massive, massive houses there. Like big, big money in places like Toyando now. So that's also something to think about. Henny says, back on the drowning of cats, Jocko the Bushveld was saved from being drowned in a bucket because he was the runt of the puppies. Times were different then.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how the story starts, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You didn't try and save the runt. Now you do. You know, I mean, there's a thing where we now buy ugly looking vegetables because people feel sorry that the strange potatoes were being thrown away.
Can you imagine feeling sorry for a potato? I really think your life is so empty of real challenge and problems and anything of value if you start to look at potatoes and feel sorry for them. I can't ever take that seriously. There will never be a point in my life where someone says, and I felt sorry for the potato. And I go, oh, you're such a nice person for that. I think I will always look at someone who says something like that with just nothing but detestation. Like, really? That's your problem? All right. We got a lot of things to get into still. We've got Dr. Hanan joining us just now, which will be good. We've got to talk about this Matthew and Sonia Booth thing with him. I'll get a few of the headlines up so we can look at some of those too. The DA in Ekurhuleni is facing a new challenge because Action SA has pulled out of their minority coalition. You know, again, I have to say, Action SA, by doing this, they may be, in their opinion, doing things out of principle. We know Herman Mashaba has no love for the DA, and he's sabotaged a couple of these coalitions. And maybe they have a point. I don't know. I haven't even looked at the story. But I just wish these politicians would put their differences aside and run the fucking place. Just run it. Just make sure everything works. How about you just make sure that people have electricity, water, roads that aren't full of sinkholes and potholes, and just like actually make sure the street lights are on and that there's no litter lying around. That would be good enough. If we could do that, like when we were talking to Mayor Mpo Palatse. A lot of people have been talking about that interview, actually. That's all we want from you. We don't actually give a damn what your political inclinations are. We don't care whether you get along with the people in the other parties. Merit. Find people who can do a job and put them in charge. That's all we want. Am I wrong?
And do the job.
No, that's it.
No, you're right.
It's not hard. It's really not hard to do this. So listen to this quickly. This is from Lindy Ntuli. She says, do I report a traffic cop who took my driver's license and forcefully tried to extort me on the weekend? I drove away and left him with it. It's a tough one. I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, do you bother reporting it?
If he refused to give you your license back, then you did the right thing by driving away. But now you'll have to go and get a new license, which is a pain.
I've told you guys the story about my friend's uncle who got bumped by a police officer. Hmm? And then the police officer actually turned out to be drunk on duty.
Oh, wow.
And apparently this is like a huge, huge deal. Like if this were to come out, I mean, he's losing his job and everything.
Right.
So my uncle was actually on his way to the police station. I was like, I'm going to go report you.
Yeah.
And this dude attacked, I mean, it's not my uncle. This dude attacked my friend's uncle with a knife and stabbed him. Shit. And then he tried to actually cover himself and got stabbed in the hand. It actually cut his hand in half. This cop was actually trying to like murder him. Because he was like, listen, it's my job or your life.
Jeez.
You know, yeah, but I mean, this is the thing about people who go into the police or a lot of these professions where you have a lot of power over people. And obviously there are good police people, there are men and women in our police who are trying their best to do the right thing, to look after each other and the country and society at large, and you know, they'll do their best to make things better. But then there are also a bunch of just shitheads who have no self respect, they have no ability to help anyone else, they're completely driven by power and goes to their head, and they abuse that power. And to me, this is a perfect example of that kind of thing. It's just awful. Like, is this guy okay? Can he still use his hand?
He is fine now. I'm not so sure about the hand, but he did have some hectic surgery and stitches and all that. I don't know if the hand is fine now, but yeah, I mean, he also actually is pursuing what's it called? He's suing that police department. The police department. He's actually suing.
Good.
So,
good.
Yeah, let's see how that turns out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the morning where we check in with Dr. Hanan Bushkin, renowned psychologist and head of the Anxiety and Trauma Clinic in Johannesburg, and also recently nominated for an Achievers Award, which we didn't mention. We were remiss.
Ooh.
No, I mean, like, you know, Dr. Hanan has got like probably a shelf full of these things, so it's no big deal. But I forgot to mention it last week because he was actually hoping people would vote. But, Doc, well done on that one.
It's very kind of you. I always feel so blind kind of like with the self-adulation, but I do appreciate it. And I'm glad we're able to dispense value to people who need it most, and I've been recognized for it. That's amazing. If you get a chance, please go and vote. I'll put the link up on my Instagram.
So we can do that still now?
Yes. Today's the last day.
Okay, brilliant. So we still squeeze this in. So go and vote for Dr. Hanan. You can find him on his Instagram, and all the links will be there as well. So you can go and vote for him. And because he's here giving us free, you know, mental health advice every week, and we talk about all kinds of stuff, and he's a busy man. So this is your way of repaying him. Go and vote for him in this award. It'll be a nice one to put on the shelf. And you know, Doc, someone said to me once, even if you're the kind of person who doesn't really care about awards, I'm not sure whether you are or not, I try not to like take awards too seriously, but what you got to realize is sometimes it's not about you receiving it. It's about the people giving it. They want to recognize you. And especially if it's something like this where people vote, because then it's the people who really care about what you've done, and it would be ungrateful of you to not accept that, you know, with a bit of grace.
I think that's such a great point, and I've had to put kind of my ego aside, and because whether I win the award or don't win the award, the journey continues, and I'm still going to dispense value. But you're right, for the people that put in the effort and the time and the energy to mm-hmm. recognize this achievement, obviously I've got to be open to that. So thank you very much. I really appreciate the mention.
Cool. I'm glad I remembered this time, and I'm glad we still got time to vote. Okay, so, Doc, let's talk about this thing. It's been a big story in the news. We talked about it last week. It's very difficult when you know the people involved, and Sonia Booth used to have a show on Cliff Central, so she's a part of our family. She's kind of been, and I hope this isn't unkind to someone who's already going through a really tough time, but she's been unraveling a bit on social media, and really, this is something that is a new layer which maybe human beings haven't had to deal with, is the fact that now everyone is a public figure because everyone is on the internet. And now, obviously for famous people, it's a whole lot worse. But now for all of us, if you put your stories out there, everyone is going to have an opinion, even the people who are not in any way involved. It's none of their business. But by you sharing that stuff, it becomes their business and they're entitled to an opinion. So we can't criticize them. You've decided to allow them into your world. But let's talk about some of these things. And really, I'd like you to take this in whatever direction you want to go, because there are a bunch of things here. There's infidelity, you know, cheating in a marriage. There's gaslighting. I'm not cheating, especially in the case I saw people passing around an ad where, like, Matthew Booth is busy saying, you know, it's an HIV ad, and he's like, having a single partner is the safest thing you can do. Obviously, in retrospect now, the people who made that ad are feeling pretty stupid, but they didn't know what was going on here. But it is a kind of gaslighting. The effect on the kids, the stuff I spoke about now going public, the pressure of being a celebrity, all of that stuff. Where do you want to begin with this?
So for some reason, we put celebrities on a pedestal and we think they're superhuman. Mm. We all are subject and are slave to our own psychology. And we must understand that cheating happens for one, two, or both reasons. One is because there's a great push away from a relationship. Mm-hmm. And or two, there's a great pull towards something else. So there's a concept in psychology called need bidding. Need bidding means that relationships work because needs are being fulfilled back and forth. Mm-hmm. So I need water, you've got water, I'm naturally going to connect to you. You mm-hmm. need food, I've got food, you're naturally going to connect to me. The moment we do not give each other what we need, there'll be a natural disconnect. But listen to this. The moment we give each other what we don't need, there's a natural disconnect too. Mm-hmm. So we think by giving and giving and giving and giving, we're naturally going to create a connection. But actually, if you give someone what they don't need, they disconnect from you as much as if you don't fulfill what they do need. So for example, if you've just had a 7-course meal, mm-hmm. you're stuffed, you can't think of food. And I now go and slave in the kitchen for 7 hours, making you the most incredible burger that you've ever had in your life, and shove that burger down your throat. Naturally, you're going to resent me. And I'm going to resent you too, because you don't appreciate me putting all the effort in making you this burger. But the reason why you're going to resent me and why I'm going to resent you, well, because I fulfilled a need that you didn't have. You didn't have a need for food. People think that we need a lot. Actually, we don't need a lot. We need a little bit of what we do need. So going back to relationships, if you want to find a sense of connection, that specifically, and I've discussed this on the show before, 9 essential elements to a romantic relationship, that 9 essential needs to make a romantic relationship work. There's communication, there's trust, there's common shared values, there's compromise, there's intimacy, attraction, the need to feel desired, practical contributions, and playfulness. And if you're able to fulfill those needs in a relationship, you're going to create this incredible pull towards your partner and vice versa. Mm-hmm. But remember, the reason why somebody breaks the rules is not just because there's a push, in other words, these needs are not being met, but also in comparison, there is a pull towards something else. And celebrities, unfortunately, are so exposed to these pulls because they hold so much power, so much resource. They perhaps are financially incredibly secure. They're in the limelight. they are in the kind of apex of the alpha male realm, a human society, and people are naturally drawn to them. So you might have an incredible relationship at home, but you're so exposed to alternatives that suddenly the pull becomes greater. And the alternatives, by the way, can, or rather what you have at home, can never compete with alternatives, ever. Because think about the challenges of a real relationship versus the benefit of a quick fix or somebody that you've known for perhaps a couple of minutes or a couple of hours, or somebody that you only know when you're out. And what ends up happening, you're comparing a drug to real life. You compare a quick fix to the real benefit and the real difficulties of real life, and real life has absolutely no chance against the drug.
That is such an interesting point, because often people are judgmental about this. They're like immediately trying to assign blame, just like Mash was telling us about that aircraft crash over the weekend. People just desperately want to hold someone responsible, right? That's the good guy, that's the bad guy. And make it obvious that this is like a binary thing, that there's one person who's just evil and one person who's just good. I always wonder with those people, I wonder if those people actually even have a definition for evil, because that is one of the hardest things to define. You ask someone, how do you define evil? And it'll take them a very long time and a huge amount of mental energy to actually figure that out. So that's number one. But we're not by any means condoning this behavior or saying that that's an excuse, right?
Never, ever, ever, ever. But I will say that nobody's bigger than their temptation. If you think that you're bigger, your psychology, your emotional capacity is big enough to avoid temptation, you're just playing with fire. You know, I don't know if you remember, maybe 20, 25 years ago, there was a show on Mnet called Temptation Island. And I think they redid it a couple of years ago, but the original show had couples, the happiest couple that they could find, and they put them on an island. The guy was on the one side of the island, the woman was on the other side of the island. The guy was surrounded with 12 of the most beautiful girls they could find for them, right. And the girl was surrounded with the 12 of the most beautiful guys they could find for her. And the aim of the show is, do not cheat on your partner. Avoid temptation. That's what they call it, Temptation Island. Do you know how many couples stayed faithful in the show?
No.
Zero. 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 Because if you think that you are bigger than the temptation, you are mistaken. It just doesn't work that way. So on day one, you'd be, no, of course I'm not going to do that. On day two, of course I'm not going to do that. But as you are exposed to the temptation more and more and more often, before you know it, you give yourself permission to slip away. So you're quite right. We are not saying that this is right in terms of a moral judgment, but we're just explaining behavior. If you are going to put yourself in situations where you're tempted, eventually your psychology wins and you're going to succumb to the temptation for sure.
Wow, that's a scary result for that show. I mean, I didn't watch the show. I remember it being on, but not one couple managed to stay faithful to each other. So that's worth discussing, but maybe we'll just skip across to the other stuff because there's a lot to cover here. What about this, you know, this going public thing? Because for Sonia Booth, she's shared this story, and it's something that's been going on in her life for way longer than it's been on the internet. She's, you know, according to the stories that are now coming out, she's been almost like gathering evidence over the course of a year or more as this has been happening. And then she decided, right, I'm putting this out there. I'm going to share this. What would you advise a client of yours about sharing this stuff on social media? And what would you say is the best course of action here? Because people also get really angry. You know, there's nothing like a woman scorned, they say. But in this case, it could quite easily reverse the gender roles. It could be the guy who's scorned. But when people get hurt, they lash out. And they sometimes do things that are counterproductive to their own happiness. What would you advise a client?
Right. So obviously to the partner, this is a very painful experience to have your life partner, your husband, your wife, have an affair, cheat on you and make you look like a fool. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely devastating. There's no question. And we should dedicate our whole show on how to deal if you had found out that your partner is having an affair, how to confront that person. But if a patient of mine comes to me and says, Hanan, what do I do with this situation? I would ask them a very important question. One, What do you want to achieve? What is the goal? Because how many times have I said on the show, don't allow your feelings to dictate your behavior. Feelings are liars. And what feels right today, straight after a cup of coffee, feels very wrong. Mm-hmm. So feelings change all the time, and feelings are varied, and they just not consistent. So you shouldn't base your decision based on how you feel. You should base your decision on whether it services your particular goal. Right. So what I would ask anybody that's found out that their partner's having an affair, I would ask them, what do you want? What do you want? Put your feelings aside for 2 seconds. Practically, what do you want? So you might say, well, I want to get a divorce. Okay. I want a separation. Mm. I want to work it out with my husband because we have a family unit and I want to preserve the family unit. I want to get more information, because that's very important, because what has happened is with a partner that's been cheated on, they now want data. They are left in the unknown. They're left in limbo. Hold on. So you said you're there, but now you have figured out you're over there. You said you love me. Did you really mean it? Yeah. Hold on. When we were intimate, were you really thinking about me, or were you thinking about the other woman? A billion questions are going to arise, and the trust is broken. So again, I would ask the partner, what do you want to achieve? And then we look at the best strategy to create that. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get back together, okay, that's fair. There's no judgment there. You want to preserve your family unit? Perfect. Is going on social media going to serve that? Mm-hmm. If the answer is yes, well, let's do it. And if the answer is no, which seems like it's just not the right answer, well, let's avoid that irrespective of what your feelings tell you. If you want to get a divorce, no problem. Let's go and figure this one out. You know, in life, sometimes life puts you in a position, and this is important, where you have a choice between easy and easy. Great. Sometimes life gives you a position between easy and difficult. Brilliant. But sometimes life gives you puts you on the fence and gives you the position or the choice between bad and even worse, where you don't have a good choice, where you have to sacrifice either. And I always tell people, when you're on the fence, and I'll end off with this, whenever you're on the fence, you have at least 4 different positions that you can take. You can take position A or position B. You can take the position of, I don't know what to do, and let me go get information, or let me just sit on the fence and wait it out. The worst possible position to take in life is to sit on the fence and wait it out. Because I've always said, if you're not the chess player of your life, you're a pawn in someone else's. If you sit on the fence, you will always end up where other people want to take you. So don't sit on the fence. If you don't know what to do, go and get data. So I'm not too sure if I want to get a divorce. Go and get data to help you figure out and make a decision.
Sure. You see, we could talk, and maybe we should talk about how to respond to this kind of thing, and maybe what the best course of action is in a future episode. But we're out of time for this morning already, and we haven't even scratched the surface of this one. So Mash and Leanne, I'm sorry, you haven't even had a chance to ask any questions this time around, but we'll get Dr. Hanan on again, and hopefully we'll be able to uncover more of this, because these are real things that real people are dealing with on the daily, and it's not easy. It's tough. Human relations are never easy. They can be extremely rewarding. They can be the best thing about your life, but they can also be really, really awful and so hard and so painful. So thanks, Doc, and good luck with those awards. You can go and vote for Dr. Hanan on his Instagram. He's got all the links there where you can go follow through, and then he is up for an Achievers Award, which he rightly deserves, and we'll all go and vote and take part as well. So thank you very much, Dr. Hanan Bushkin.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much. And thanks for the acknowledgement. I want to tell you, Cliff Central has certainly been a massive and intricate part of this. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. All right, Doc, we'll see you soon. Thanks, man. There he is, Dr. Hanan, on a Monday, just to get our brains and our emotions and everything else right to start the week. I mean, it's the best way to start the week. Rebellious Ruth says, Dr. Phil once said, there is drama. If there is drama, don't involve the police or law unnecessarily, because then there's more shit. Perhaps the same applies here with social media. Yeah, that's probably good advice. Just remember, also, every time you share anything on social media, you're inviting a whole lot of strangers into your life and into your house and into your relationship. And sometimes that is exactly the opposite of what you want. All right, we'll be back with a whole lot more. It is 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com, Monday morning. We got Mash, we got Leanne, we got me, you, And we've got all the other people who are going to be joining us in a little while, including Debbie Droke over in Washington, D.C. I'm so happy that she's able to stay up late, because for her it's going to be late, late, late at night or early in the morning, depending on your point of view. And she'll tell us what's been going on over there with the midterm elections that happened last week and so much more. Stick around, cliffcentral.com on a Monday. Hooray!
Cliffcentral.com.